The Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines in the last few weeks have completed internal assessments of the war in Afghanistan. After every war, the armed services analyze their fighting experience in order to identify lessons that might be applied to future conflicts. This year's reports are especially important because lessons learned in Afghanistan will guide the planning for a possible new war in Iraq. NPR's Tom Jaltam reports.
Every war is unique, so war analysts have to be careful not to draw the wrong lessons. No one looked at U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan riding into battle on horseback and concluded that combat training should now include riding lessons. What strategists do is study a military operation against the broader trends in warfighting and try to figure out what the operation teaches about how to handle the coming challenges. The Afghanistan war showed how each of the armed services is adapting to new circumstances. The increased difficulty, for example, getting access to a war zone. That's an issue for Air Force planners, such as Colonel Fred Wieners. Since the 1991 Gulf War, the U.S. military has kept fewer of its forces overseas, close to where they have to fight.
Numbers of people that we have overseas, numbers of bases have diminished. We are now a U.S.-based force more than we have been in terms of the forward-deployed nature that we were 11 years ago.
The cutback in foreign basing is partly to save money, partly in response to terrorist attacks, partly because foreign governments are more reluctant to have U.S. forces set up in their territory, even temporarily. Inevitably, this makes war logistics more complicated. In the Afghanistan case, some neighboring countries wouldn't let the United States launch airstrikes from local bases. The problem was handled by giving the U.S. Navy a bigger role than it would normally have in a war hundreds of miles inland. Navy aircraft based on carriers in the Arabian Sea flew about 75% of the bombing missions in Afghanistan. U.S. Marines coming off Navy ships were the first conventional forces to set foot in the country. Rear Admiral James Stavridis, who directed the Afghan lesson learning exercise for the Navy, sees his service getting a big role in the next war as well.
We look at the entire sea as a base from which we can operate. It's really a maneuver area. And when I say Navy, I really mean naval, both Navy and Marine Corps. We operate as a team wherever we go. We don't have to ask for basing rights to operate in international seas. And so I think any operation in the future, the Navy and Marine Corps team will be there first to open up the access, which will then permit the heavier Army and Air Forces to come into the theater.
For the Air Force, the Afghanistan operation underlined the importance of being able to lift large numbers of troops and heavy equipment into a war zone. And Colonel Wieners, Deputy Director of the Air Force Analysis of Afghanistan, says air crews showed they were capable of reaching the war zone from a long ways away.
B-2 sortie over 40 hours is a first. Fighter sorties, longest duration fighter sorties we've ever had. If you think that the average bomber sorties were over 14 hours.
One lesson here, being able to carry out refueling in mid-flight is an important Air Force capability. Another big question in Afghanistan was how well the U.S. military did going after moving targets, from speeding trucks to lumbering tanks. This emerged as an issue during the 1991 Gulf War, when the concern was to find and destroy the Iraqis' mobile Scud missile launchers. The U.S. military's performance then was not impressive, not one mobile launcher known for sure to have been hit and destroyed. And the next time around in Iraq could be even more challenging. Rear Admiral Stavridis, one of the Navy's leading strategists, sees speed as a dominant principle of future war.
Our opponents are using speed to position many, many highly technical weapons of mass destruction on fleeting mobile launchers. And our ability to get at those kinds of targets quickly, essentially immediately, is going to be vital to us in this century.
The key here is the time between when a target is first seen and when it can be hit. That gap has been shortened in recent years. A battlefield is under constant surveillance from satellites, sophisticated radar systems, and unmanned aircraft circling overhead. Someone watching a TV monitor can identify a potential target and instantly alert a passing fighter pilot or even the commander of a nearby artillery unit. But the pilot or artillery commander may then have to wait for permission to strike the target. Air Force Colonel Fred Wieners says Afghanistan showed this may need to change to allow airstrikes to occur even more quickly.
We realize that to strike these targets, especially those that are moving, when we don't have much of an opportunity in terms of time, we're only going to be able to see it and hit it for a short amount of time. That is decision authority, if we're going to be successful, needs to be down to the trigger puller.
But this is a controversial point. When strike decisions are made too quickly, mistakes can happen. On several occasions in Afghanistan, U.S. pilots struck civilians after receiving erroneous target information. Colonel Wiener says having U.S. troops on the ground as spotters can reduce the chance of mistakes. In fact, all the services agree that Afghanistan proved how important ground troops are to a successful war effort. In Afghanistan, Special Operations Forces were the war heroes, the U.S. Army Green Berets, Air Force targeting specialists, and most notably, Navy SEAL units. At one point, half of all the Special Operations troops in the country were Navy SEALs. Rear Admiral Stavrida says they were ideally suited for the Afghanistan challenge.
What is particularly wonderful about SEALs is the sea, air, land. That's where the word SEAL comes from. So the SEALs were particularly valuable in this conflict because they could come from the sea base, but then using their air and land skills could then go deep inland into Afghanistan and operate in a very difficult and demanding environment from the sea base. They really bring that full package of combat capability in.
If a war is fought in Iraq on the basis of lessons learned in Afghanistan, special operations troops are sure to be featured. So will the unmanned aircraft that proved so useful in tracking targets. As for what did not work in Afghanistan, the armed services have little to say. Andrew Krepinevich of the Center for Budgetary and Strategic Assessments says this is to be expected because all the services compete for the same defense dollars.
We never seem to have enough money to do all the things we'd like to do. And for a service to step forward and say, well, we really didn't perform that mission very well, that immediately, in the eyes of at least some people, is an admission that, well, perhaps somebody else should be performing this mission. Perhaps you should take part of my budget that's been going into that effort and trim it or eliminate it and give it to somebody else.
Not likely, Krepinevich says. Still, there are some indications of the problems that emerged in Afghanistan. The Marines complained that the U.S. Central Command, directing the war from Tampa, Florida, was too removed from the fight. Officials say Army General Tommy Franks, head of the Central Command, is considering the possibility of moving his headquarters to the Persian Gulf region in preparation for a possible war against Iraq. Andrew Krepinevich also wonders how impressed we really should be by what seemed to work in Afghanistan.
Doing better against a few thousand members of the Taliban is one thing. Doing better against a much larger, more diversified, more sophisticated threat, even like in Iraq or in North Korea, may be a whole new ballgame in itself.
The military strategists who have directed the lessons learned exercises for Afghanistan insist they have been careful not to overgeneralize. Colonel Wieners of the Air Force recognizes, for example, that U.S. air crews were successful in Afghanistan only because they could loiter over the country as long as they needed to. That was possible only because the aircraft could be refueled in flight. But having slow tanker aircraft flying around a war zone can be dangerous. And if air commanders have to worry about their planes being shot down, air refueling will be risky.
The lesson not to learn here, or the expectation not to get, this is not easy. We were fortunate here to have an enemy, an adversary, that did not have a sophisticated air defense system. It won't be this easy in the next struggle.
A point to keep in mind as Iraq war planning continues apace. Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.